Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you know that I sold my little hybrid SUV to Matthew a couple years back. I enjoyed that little SUV for lots of reasons, and he is enjoying it now. By the way, its name is Hal. All of our vehicles have names, and they all start with H. Don't know how that started, but that's how it is. So, the thing about this vehicle, however, is that not long after I'd gotten it, I got the first ticket, the traffic ticket that I'd had in years. It happened about a month after I got the car. You see, it gets such great gas mileage because it works part of the time as an electric vehicle and part of the time as a gas vehicle. But only when you're doing somewhere between 30, a little less than 35 or 40 miles an hour, and only if it's warmed up. It's pretty sensitive. And only if your foot isn't too far into the gas pedal. So I was trying to keep to the good speed, keep it up and all of that kind of stuff without going too hard in the gas. And at the same time, keep the momentum going, I kind of slipped through a stop sign a little bit too fast. And of course, the only other vehicle around was a police car. And he promptly stopped me and gave me, as he should, a ticket. Now, if you've had a ticket, and most of you I'm sure haven't, but if you've had a ticket, you know that the penalties can be rather stiff for such an offense. Mine was $327. But that wasn't the end of the penalty. If I wanted to keep it off of my driving record, I needed to go to court and get assigned to a driving school, traffic school. And then I had to pay for the traffic school and go through all the rigmarole to make sure that you get all the right papers to the right people at the right time and all of that sort of thing. Now, having been driving for a good many years and not having many tickets, this was costly to me in terms of money, obviously, and time and hassle. But in the distant past, long past, shortly after I got my driver's license, I'd had another occasion for a traffic ticket. That one turned out differently. I'd gotten the ticket on my own, when I'd started to drive on my own. And I also ended up in court after having turned right on a red light where they had put up a sign recently, a new sign. It says, no right turn on red. In that case, I was given a ticket, and I went before the judge. I'm 16 years old. I'd never been before a judge before. And he lets me off. Now, both of these incidents have served to help me understand a little better what it is to be thankful. Now, both, of course, I was most thankful for having been given leniency by the judge in the earlier case. But the second case also taught me that there is a stiff penalty to pay when mercy is not forthcoming. Of course, when we're given a penalty, it is costly. But when that penalty is removed by the declaration of the court, we learn that though the cost has been assessed, though the penalty has been pronounced, the cost and the penalty are removed from our responsibility by mercy alone. Mercy alone. When we're given mercy, there's only one response: gratitude. We know we've been found guilty. That's why you're standing in court. And we know that justice demands we pay our penalty, but in the light of mercy, and by the giving of grace, we are set free from the demands of the penalty of the law. The result is gratitude. But gratitude only works if we receive that mercy as freely given to us as an individual. What would your estimation of my judgment be if, having received mercy from the court as I did, I refused that mercy and demanded that I pay the penalty instead? I'd be something of an ingrate. I'd be something of a fool, wouldn't you think? If mercy is granted but refused, is that mercy received? Of course not. And if grace is given but not acknowledged, will that grace be taken away? No, that isn't how grace works, because then it wouldn't be grace. But think about grace. How can grace change a life if grace isn't received in gratitude and thankfulness? Truth be told, it cannot. It cannot change your life. Only a heart that has known its condemnation under the law can receive mercy and grace, and so that heart can be broken and transformed by that same mercy and grace. Only a heart that responds with thankfulness can know that mercy and grace are truly their own, without thankfulness for such a gift. The heart remains cold and locked away under the law. That's why God in the Old Testament lesson tonight was reminding the Israelites of what he had done for them throughout their long Exodus journey. Listen again for parts of this. Verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. And then skipping ahead. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. These reminders from God called forth a remembrance of his grace. He was bringing forward to the present the mercy of himself, the mercy of God, from what they had endured and now were perhaps in danger of forgetting that very same grace and mercy. The response of thankfulness is what would have given the Israelites a refreshment of what they had lived through. Through the returning of thanks for such great and abundant 40 years worth of mercy and grace, a heart becomes able to lay hold of that grace personally. In thankfulness, a heart is made clean by mercy, any heart, our hearts, because that heart has acknowledged its need and its condemnation, and recognize that in mercy it has received full pardon for all that the law demands. Now God knows that the demands of the law are not able to be fulfilled by our individual efforts. And so, in Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, God has made the only way for man to receive grace. There is only one way to fulfill the law's demands, and that is by complete and total obedience. The Israelites demonstrated over and over that we humans cannot be perfectly obedient. So in sending his only Son into the flesh, God was able to reveal to us his mercy by Christ's humble obedience, even obedience unto death on a cross, and by grace, God grants to those who, by the gift of faith, trust in Jesus' name, the full and complete pardon for all of their sins. As we read in the epistle lesson in verse 4, God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's only the truth of God's salvation in Jesus that gives a heart peace. Only the heart that trusts the truth of God's redemption will be at rest. Only in the gift of faith that God longs to give each heart is there a sure and certain hope of pardon. Thinking about this, in light of this then, I want you to listen again to the gospel lesson tonight. And I want you to hear how one heart was changed by mercy. And in hearing this story, we see ourselves as also thankfully, on this day before Thanksgiving, thankfully receiving God's mercy and grace. Listen again. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he, Jesus, said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let us also, as we rise later and go, let us do so in thankfulness for the gift of faith that gives us true peace. Peace for which we are thankful for in Jesus' name. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.